the predetermined particulars of your purpose and the seven ways you can fulfill your purpose on earth. Seven ways you must fulfill your purpose on earth. One, give your life to Christ, making the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. Two, make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Number three, find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and commit to it. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. And number seven, make your family and close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace, and a balanced and healthy family life. I want us to take that one that we describe as number two today. I'll give today's service to it. I'll take a break next week, and I trust God that we can wrap it up the week after next, after Mother's Day, Sunday. And as the Lord gives us the liberty, take the very last one, number one, and then I trust God before the end of the month, we can actually get into this new message that is really my spirit, how to break out into unprecedented success. Amen. But this is make Jesus your Lord and your Master. Make Jesus your Lord and your Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Let me clarify. Accepting Christ as our Lord and our Savior doesn't qualify and doesn't automatically translate into making Jesus Lord. There are two separate things, and I'm going to show that to you as quickly as I can and simply as I can from the Word of God. Accepting Christ into our lives as our Savior means we accept that he paid the price for our redemption. We accept he went to the cross. We believe. That's what the Bible says. It says in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And then he is your Savior. That's, you know, he says, how does that scripture put it now? Romans 10, is it 10, 9 and 10? Confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made. Help me, Holy Spirit. Confession is made unto salvation. So just coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I believe you died for my sins. I accept I'm a sinner. I give you my life. I open my heart and Jesus come into my heart. You are saved. You are born again. And from that moment onwards, your relationship with God starts. But unfortunately, sad to say, for many people, that's where it starts and that's where it ends. Some people just never take the next step beyond, oh yes, he died for my sins, he saved me, he's my Messiah, he's my provider, he's my shepherd, he's my... They just never really take the next step. But there is always a next step. And that next step, in many ways, this is an aspect of our walk with God that isn't really much frequently taught anymore, just because it's a little difficult. It's a little challenging on the mind. And so it's not one of those messages, like, you know, earlier in the service when I told you the Lord put in my spirit very strongly, may, favor, you know, favor, favor upon favor. That's a very good message. It's very sweet to talk about favor. You know, I mean, that's just, I mean, just lovely. I mean, you just get excited about that. Those are real authentic promises from the Lord, things that the Lord wants to do, and they really excite us. But you find out as you begin to walk with the Lord, it's not everything the Lord does and says that is exciting. It's not every aspect of our Christian experience that is exciting. Some aspects of our Christian experience are actually quite challenging. They're actually quite challenging. And taking this next step is really what is described as discipleship. That's what's really described as discipleship. When you talk about becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's that next step. And unfortunately, many people, most believers, most Christians, just never take that next step, just because it is not as sweet. It is not as soothing as, but it is a mandatory part of our walk. And if we don't engage that next step, we would never really fully enjoy the good life that the Lord planned for us. So let's start out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and let's read that to verse 20. It says, "But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay." He said, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not, his word was not yes and no, yea and nay, but in him was yea." That is, in him was yes. Jesus is yes. So for all the promises, verse 20, of God, in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Let's read that verse 20 together. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Let me say something here before I take you to, I'm going to take you to Colossians 1, 17 to 19, and I want you to see these two scriptures next to one another. Every promise that the Lord makes to us, his word, the Bible says his promises in him are yes and amen. And you know, we have that popular saying, if Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And the Lord is always, his promises are yes and amen. The Lord is always saying yes, looking for ways to say yes to his people. And look at all these promises that the Lord gives us from time to time in his word, prophetically and different ways. His promises are yes. God is never going to go back and take back what he promised you. His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. However, there is an underlying requirement that makes that so. That underlying requirement is his word to us, when we respond, must also always be yes. His word to us, when we respond, the Lord must never say anything to us where we say, "No, Lord. No, Lord." Mm-mm. It can't be Lord and you say no at the same time. It's always yes, Lord. And sometimes his instructions may create conflict in our minds. Sometimes it challenges the depths of us. But it must always be yes, Lord. Making Jesus the Lord of our lives is coming to a place, making a decision that you will follow the Lord and you would always say, "Yes, Lord." Amen. Remember, when you gave your life to Christ, you said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are my Savior, you died, so yes, Lord." But beyond giving our lives to Christ, the Lord is going to walk with us. And we must follow. This is why this song, you know, it's almost like Panam wrote this song just for this message, to be quite honest. See, it's following the Lord, saying yes and following the Lord is the requirement for lordship. Is the requirement for lordship. Accepting Jesus as our Savior is the requirement for salvation. But following the Lord every day of our lives, saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Let me give you a very cheap example. Have you ever, this happens to every believer, that's why. Have you ever wanted to give someone a piece of your mind? For real. You really wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind. Like that piece. Not that piece that is Jesus. Not the Jesus piece. But you know that piece that followed you into Christ. That the one that is still there. All of us still have that. And you want to take a little of that piece. And you want to give somebody a piece of your mind. Just to let them know what you really think. And then as you are deliberating over it, you start hearing the Lord say, no, don't do that. And then the battle starts. Because in your head, you start fighting. It's like, no, let me give him a piece of my mind. Because he did this, or she said that. Or said, let me give him a piece of my mind. And the Lord said, no, let me take care of it. Amen. Say, no, Lord, if you take care of it, you are too merciful. You won't do it. You won't do a good job. They are going to escape without punishment. Let me. Lord, let me do this. Let me. You are too merciful, God. Amen. But when you come to the point when you say, yes, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. You handle it. You are expressing and you are manifesting the lordship of Jesus in your life. If you went and did what you wanted to do, which the Lord did not sanction, you won't lose your salvation. You won't be suddenly unsaved. You'll still be a Christian. Right? But guess what? Jesus will not be Lord. He won't be Lord. And if Jesus is not Lord, every time we shift Jesus, the lordship position of Jesus, the preeminent position of Jesus, every time we shift him out of the way, he can't say yes to us. He cannot say yes to us. This is why it's so costly. It's so costly to not understand this concept, this principle of the lordship of Christ. You can't, let me throw out another loser as they are coming. None of this is in my notes, but they are coming. Think about Jonah. The Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh. He said, I want you to go do this. What did Jonah think? He said, no, they are terrible people. I'm not, Lord, no. Why? No. And guess what? So he went in a different direction and got on a ship. You remember? And when he got on a ship, what happened? Storm. And then, you know, finally somebody said, there's somebody on this ship who's carrying something. You have to be very careful who you are carrying in your ship, in your boat. You have to. Sometimes you think, well, you know, just pay. You know, as long as you are ready to pay, you just get on my boat. Let me tell you, sometimes somebody can pay and get on your boat, and your boat will capsize. Sometimes you are better off not taking that passenger. Just go. Just keep going. Just keep going. Not every passenger is a beneficial passenger on that boat. And Jonah was not a bad man. He just was walking in disobedience in that moment. And in walking in disobedience, you know, all these things started. They prayed. And then, of course, they threw him out of the ship. And then you know what happened? He got swallowed. Now, let me tell you something. It was not the will of God for him to be swallowed by that fish.
Do you know how many believers have been swallowed by fishes all over the world? It was not the will of God for him to be swallowed by that fish. But guess what? The Lord couldn't say yes to him. The Lord couldn't say yes. Why? Because he wouldn't say yes to the Lord. And until he got to the point where he said, yes, Lord. Finally, you see that his prayer in chapter 2. The Bible says he prayed the prayer of thanksgiving. And then this fish threw him out. And then he went back to do what the Lord told him. See, so the prerequisite, I know all of these scriptures, you know, we quote them and like they're not conditional. They're conditional. They're conditional. And a lot of times, the Lord can't give us what we're asking for because we've never come to the point where we're willing to give him what he's asking for. What is he asking for? He just wants to be Lord. He wants to have preeminence. Look at that scripture with me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, he is before all things. Actually, back up and let's read it from verse 16. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. He's talking about Jesus, guys. Or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Listen now. We need a revelation of this. All things were created by him and for him. Do you know you were created for Jesus? Do you know that? I was created for Jesus. We were created by him and we're created for him. That means if we know we are created for him, we are not created for us. We are not created for ourselves. So we cannot be our own Lord. We were created by him and for him, so he has to be Lord. Amen. He has to be Lord. We can't be the Lord of our own lives. Listen to what he says now in verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's all things hold together. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence means to have the first place. It means to have the chief place. It means to have the central place. It means to have the most important place. That in all things, not in some things, but in all things, Jesus may have the preeminence. He wants to have the first place. He wants to have the central place in all things. He wants to be Lord. Yes, he wants to be Savior. He's already Savior. But beyond being Savior, he also wants to be Lord. He wants to have the preeminence. The Bible says here in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, the Lord himself talked about the importance of allowing him to be Lord. Let's go to that popular story he told in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I want you there to look at verse 46. He said, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? Now, so notice now. When you give your life to Christ, he is your Savior. And because this is all a part of our lingo, because he's our Savior, we automatically also refer to him as Lord. He's my Savior and Lord. He's Lord. He's my Lord. Jesus, my Lord. I mean, Jesus is Lord. We even write it everywhere. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. It's a part of our lingo. But what the Lord is saying here in Luke chapter 6, The Lordship of Christ is not satisfied by lingo. The Lordship of Jesus is not satisfied by what we are saying. How we call him, how we refer to him, that does not satisfy the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. Amen. And I want you to look at what he said here. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? Then he said, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. Notice, the one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God is the Lordship of Christ. The one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God is the Lordship of Christ. Let me say that. Somebody write it out and send it to me after the service. The one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God is the Lordship of Christ. Let's say it one more time. The one thing that anchors your life in the promises of God is the Lordship of Christ. What guarantees that your house will not fall apart is that Jesus is your Lord. What guarantees that your life is not going to fall apart is that Jesus is your Lord. What guarantees that your future is secure and safe and blessed is that Jesus is your, not just that he's your Savior, but that Jesus is your Lord. The difference between Jesus being your Savior and Jesus being your Lord is what the Lord described here. He said he is like a man who built a house, he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. He could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. He's describing a man in verse 47 who he says, this man or woman comes to me, hears my sayings, and does them. He comes to me, he hears my sayings, and does them. Look at three categories of self-professing Christians right here in this scripture. He comes to me. When you come to him, you are Christian. When you come to him, you are a Christian. Immediately, automatically, you are. Once you've come to him, you accept him, you are Christian. But notice, your house standing is not incumbent on you coming to him. That's not what he said. He said, you come to me, one. Then he says, you hear what I say. So this is the second category of Christians. The ones who come and hear. Now, there are many Christians who just come, full stop. They don't hear after that. They just come. They are believers. And you can see the evidence. They don't ever hear the Lord. They don't ever pay attention to anything the Lord is saying. They don't ever even, you know. So they are not in fellowship. You know, there are many Christians who are not in fellowship. There are many Christians who don't, you know, regularly read the word, pray, all these things. But I'm a Christian. And you can hear some. They sing Christian songs, you know. If they're an athlete, you will hear them use that lingo from time to time. You know, when they give their credits, when they win accolades, they'll say, and Jesus, my Lord, you know, is, you know, and I give all the credit to the Lord. But they may not really be in relationship, in fellowship, where they hear his word. But they know Jesus. So that's the second category of Christians. But then there's a third category. So there's the first, those who come. They just come. Then there's those who come and hear his word. And then there's those who come, hear his word, and do his word. Those who come, hear his word, and do his word. The doers, the Bible says, are the ones who are blessed. In James chapter 1, he says that. He says, it's not the hearers of the word who are blessed. It is the doers. If it's the hearers of the word who are blessed, everybody in church will be blessed. Everybody who carries a Bible, everybody who has a bumper sticker, everybody who professes the name of Jesus will be blessed. But he says, no. What's that scripture in James chapter 1? Thank you. But be ye doers, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, please. He says, for if a man or for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, watch this, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Mm-hmm. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straight away immediately he forgets what manner of man he was. Mm-hmm. For whoso looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man is the one who is not a forgetful. Those who hear it, who are not forgetful here, and who do it, they are the ones who are blessed. This blessing is not for just everybody. And we sometimes don't realize this. We sort of think, yeah, once I have that label, I'm a Christian, I'm blessed. No, it's not so. The full blessing of God. What is that thing I said earlier? I didn't have it. It just came to me right there on this pulpit. What's that thing? What anchors your life to? Yes. Yes. Is the Lordship of Jesus. The one thing that anchors your life to the promises of God is the Lordship of Jesus. You know, the Lord himself said it himself in John, somewhere in John. He says, it's not those, for you are blessed, not just you hear, happy are you because you know these things, but also that you do them, he said. What's that scripture? I think maybe John 13, John, find it for me, please, if you can. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I might not be quoting it accurately. I didn't get that scripture before the service. It's somewhere in John. And that word happy there is the word blessed. It's the same word blessed that's translated blessed right through the New Testament. I think it's hesed is called. It's the same word, or whatever that word is, for blessed. 13:17, thank you. Please put that up. John 13:17. Look at what it says. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you. Pastor Tinu, you have a direct Greek translation. Tell me what that word happy is. I know it's the same word translated blessed in many, but just tell me what that Greek word is, please, when you find it. Notice, it says, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. Happy, blessed. Fortunate. If you know these things, happy, blessed are you. The blessing, say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. It's very easy to sing it. But it's incumbent on certain things. That's what the Lord is saying here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. We took a little rabbit thing there. But go back to Luke chapter 6. Whosoever comes to me, hears my sayings, does them. He says, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man who built a house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream, oh, hallelujah. The stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon it. I want you to know, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, no matter what your estate is in life, no matter what your experience is, the day is coming when the flood is going to beat against your house. The day is coming. You can't avoid it. Nobody can avoid it. The day is coming when the flood is going to rain against your house, and it's going to beat vehemently, and it's going to shake that house. And the only thing that will keep your house from falling in the day of the flood is that Jesus is Lord over your life. It's that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. He said there, he says there, verse 49, but he who hears and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. Watch this. And immediately it fell. And watch this, the ruin of that house was great. Is it not the same God? Which is these two different people, when they're serving the same God, how come one of them, the flood beat vehemently and the house stood? And the other one, the flood beat vehemently and the house collapsed. And the Bible says, great was the ruin. Why? Why didn't God come to the rescue of this one? Whose house, God bless you, whose house collapsed? Why? Why didn't the Lord do everything possible to keep that house from falling? Why? Is it because God shows favoritism? He likes some and he doesn't like others amongst his children? Is that why it is? No. No. It is the Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It is the Lordship of Jesus.
Yes.
Hey, we read a scripture from Psalm 16 earlier today. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He maintains my lot. Let me tell you something. He maintains your lot when he is your Lord. He maintains your lot when he's your Lord. He maintains your lot when he is your Lord. That came from the Holy Spirit. He maintains your lot when he is your Lord. The Lord will not, he has no obligation to maintain anything when he's not Lord in your life. He has no obligation to maintain anything when he's not Lord over your life. The ruin of that house was great. Now listen to this. Our time is running. It is one thing to call him Lord, but it is a completely different thing to make him Lord. Making Jesus Lord is giving him the preeminence in all areas of your life and making the decision to follow him. Making the decision to follow him. Making the decision to follow him. I want to show you just very quickly my time. I'm very conscious of the time here. I want to show you something really quickly here, a very familiar story in the book of Mark. It's actually in all the synoptic gospels, but I like the way the one in Mark describes it, and I want you to just follow this story and see something very important here. See something very important. Now, before I have us read this story is about Peter, has something to do with Peter, but before I have us read that story, I want you to read, you know, just a couple of verses here. When Jesus came back, after Jesus, you know, died, and after he rose from the dead, and, he came back to the disciples. Now, you remember at the very end of John, I just want to show you these two words here. Watch this. At the very end of John, in John chapter 21, after Jesus had resurrected and all of that, but he was no longer there with them physically, I want you to see what happened here. Let's read this from verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the others of his disciples. Verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And all of them said unto him, we also go with you. And then they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. When last did we see this story? This example was in Luke chapter 5. When Peter had not yet met the Lord. He had not yet come in contact with Jesus. He hadn't given the Lord his boat. And he toiled, the Bible says he toiled all night and he caught nothing. Well, guess what? After Jesus' resurrection and the Lord was no longer around them physically, suddenly Peter got a brain wave. I'm going to go back. Now, he wasn't a sin to go sheep fishing. The Lord never said don't go fishing for Peter. But the problem was, that's what the Lord called him out of. In the beginning, when he met the Lord the first time, that's what he called him out of. Now, I want you to be very careful. You've got to hear me right here. I want you, because many times you hear messages like this, that they're just full of a lot of just legal, you know, what's that? How do we describe these things that are just heavy on rules, do's and don'ts? Legalism. Thank you. Thank you for your English. Legalism. You know, be careful, because a lot of these kind of messages, when they have been preached, and they are still being preached over the world in different places, it's preached with a lot of legalism. And it's always a lot of thou shalt not, and thou shalt this, and thou shalt this, and this. And this is very important that we understand this. that we each of us have a different cross that God has us carry to be his disciple. And how he requires us to submit to his lordship is different from what he requires of other people. I tell you this, if somebody else had gone a fishing, notice in this scripture, when the Lord finally came to them later in the scripture and he prepared a meal for them and all of that, and they all sat down, all of them went fishing. All of them went fishing. But the Lord isolated Peter. After, in verse 15, after he set the food before them and they all ate, he says, when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, Lord, yes, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said again to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said unto him, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wanted. But when you become old, you will stretch forth your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. And this is said, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Remember, he's talking just to Peter here. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, somebody say those two words with me. If you follow me. Say those two words with me. Follow me. Say those two words with me one more time. Follow me. I want you to go further down and look at verse 20. Peter turning around, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, that also leaned on his breast at supper, saying, Lord. See, notice, Peter is always calling him Lord. Lord. Who is he that betrayed? And Peter said unto him, Jesus, Lord, and what will happen to this man? Asking about John, the beloved. Look at what the Lord answered him. He said, if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to you? Read those last three words with me. Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Now, I wanted you to see that. Now go with me to Mark chapter 8. Notice the Lord said, follow me. Follow me. The mark of yielding to the lordship of Christ as a disciple is the willingness to follow him anywhere he leads. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Let's read a few verses here. Our time is running. Mark chapter 8, let's read from verse 27. This is a very, very interesting piece of scripture. I'm going to show you something here. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? What do people think I am? Who do they think I am? And they answered, oh, some of them say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others say you are one of the prophets. Okay. And he said unto them in verse 29, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, notice Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, he said, you are the Christ. What's the word Christ? The anointed one, the Savior, the Messiah. Verse 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Notice now. And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Watch this now. Verse 32. The same man who told him he was the Christ, Peter, he spoke that saying, and Jesus spoke that saying openly. And Peter took him, he took the Lord before everybody, and he began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't savor the things that are of God, but you savor the things that are of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake and for the gospel, the same will save it. Peter, like so many of us believers, in this initial part of the of our reading here, acknowledged Jesus as Christ. Say, you are Christ. So who am I? Who do people? You are, he said, you are the Christ. You are the Savior. You are the Messiah. But Peter had not yet recognized him as Lord. He had not. And the Lord told him how to commit to the Lordship of Christ. He told him. Notice, this was the man with the revelation. Nobody else spoke. Peter spoke. Who did men say that I am? Nobody could say, and he said, you are Christ. He's the one who are. And if you read the one in Matthew, the Bible tells us in Matthew, the Lord said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father. So he knew Jesus as Messiah. But he did not know him as Lord. There are two different things. And the Lord described to him, this is how to make me Lord. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I started to say earlier, that cross is different for every believer. This is what gives us the victory over legalism. This is what puts us over legalism. Because what the enemy, what the devil tried to do through religion is to create the same cross for everybody. He created the same cross for everybody. And he started to say, you know, if you are a man, this is what you need to be like to be a true disciple of Christ. If you're a woman, this is what you need to be like to be a true disciple of Christ. And then he names out all these things that are supposed to be crosses. But really, actually, that's religion. Because your cross is different from mine. But you will know your cross. You will know your cross. Some people say, well, you know, believers, Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, you are not supposed to go to the movies. Since when? Where is that in the word? But watch this. There are some believers that the Lord told, I don't want you going to the movies. For them, that's their cross. Some say, how can God say to a believer? He knows why. It's not like the movies are wrong. But for that person, the movies will be an obstacle to them becoming all that God wants them to be. So for them, that's a cross. But we all don't have the same cross. Now, religion seeks to, it says, yeah, if Jesus is really your Lord, then this is how you should appear. You should always appear this way. You should always. No, but the Lord never said that. And I want to get that as an aside, because I want you to get, you already know, if you are listening to me, I'm sure you already know that, but I just need to emphasize that. Because this is not legalism. However, for every single one of us, as you walk with the Lord will tell you, come after me, deny yourself, carry your cross, follow me. It's a process of discipleship. You are going to have to come after him. You are going to have to deny yourself. And part of denying yourself might sometimes be discomfort, might sometimes be sacrifice, might sometimes be really excruciatingly painful for you in your physical being and in your flesh. Deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. That is really the process of lordship. Now, if I ask you this, has every single believer that you and I know done those three things? I'm sure you know the answer to that is no. No. But that is how to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the Word of God tells us. I got to wrap this up today. Notice what the Word tells us about Peter in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and verse 66. Look at what happened here. The Bible says, from that time, verse 66, many of his disciples, many of Jesus' disciples, because he was teaching some things, and they said, these things that he was teaching were so hard. See, there's a part of his message here where he wasn't prophesying favor. If he was prophesying favor, they would not have thought it was hard. If he was just talking about spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, gift heaped upon gift, they would not have thought this was a hard message. But there was a part of the message that the Lord was giving them that was really hard. And the Bible says from verse 66, from that time many of his disciples, they went back and they walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Who spoke up again? Peter. Who spoke up again? Peter. Will you also go away? But I want you to listen to what he said. Simon Peter answered unto him, he said, Lord. Notice he didn't say Christ. Notice he didn't say Savior. Notice he didn't say Messiah. He said, Lord. And look at what he said. To whom shall we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. It is you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord. When the rubber hits the road, when we come to the crossroads of life and we need to make tough choices, Lord, it is you who has the words of eternal life. You are the compass for our eternal destiny. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord. It is you we follow. You are the one. You are the leader. You are the head. You are the preeminent one. You are the Lord. It is you we follow. We don't follow us. We don't do what we want to do. We are not our own Lord. You are the Lord. He said, Lord, I remember I was studying this scripture and this came up so strong with me. Listen to me, I'm going to prophesy to you. We read that, we sang that song. That's how I keep you singing that song. There's coming a time. Let me close out here. I'm going to read something from Kenneth Hagin's book. There's coming a time in your life. I should say times in your life. When you are going to have to make a decision. You are going to have to choose who you will follow. You are going to have to say who you believe in. You see, there are those times, there are crossroads. Kenneth Hagin describes them as crossroads. I'm going to read, as I close out here, I'm going to close this out in a minute here. I'm going to read just a few of my own personal notes, and I'm going to read a few of his personal notes that he put in his own book here. These are my notes. So don't pay too much attention. I'm going to read his own notes in just a minute because that's the man right there. When our will, our motives, our pursuits, and our expectations are diametrically opposed to the Lord's, we have a decision to make. You are going to have to decide, is Jesus my Lord? And am I going to follow him? Or am I my own Lord and will I continue on my way? And Apostle Paul sang that song. He says, there comes a time in everybody's life, you got to choose. You've got to say who you believe in. And then he said, I've made up my mind. I will follow Jesus the rest of my life. I want you Listen to Kenneth Hagin. This is from his book I have. It's an electronic one here. But it's his popular book. It's a very powerful book. If you've never read it, you should get a copy. Following God's Plan for Your Life is the title of that book. But I'm going to read a little section to you here as I close this out. He said, many Christians have never surrendered everything to the Lord. They are willing to make Jesus Lord of part of their lives only. But sometimes they aren't willing to give up control of certain areas that their carnal nature holds dear to themselves. Some believers profess they've laid everything on the altar, but in reality, they are actually holding back several parts of themselves from the Lord. Listen to what he said here. It is so important to make a quality decision once and for all that you will go all out for God and you are going to follow his plan for the rest of your life. I love this. I love this. I didn't put this together. Listen now. That decision will be an anchor to your soul to keep you in God's perfect will when the devil tries to derail you. He calls this subsection here the crossroad of decision. He said many Christians are at a crossroad in their lives right now. In other words, they face decisions that will affect the course of their lives. They are at a crossroad where they must decide if they are going to consecrate to the will of God or if they are going to live for their own selves. And I'm going to leave that up because I want to close in the scripture here. And I think when I come back to this, I'm going to pick it up from some of the stuff you wrote. I'm going to read the other pages that I can't get to today because of time. These parts that the Lord has created for every believer, I'm going to close right here. For every believer, when we start walking with the Lord, our lives are supposed to get brighter and brighter, better and better. There is no way for a believer that you live 1 year and you look back at a previous year and say that previous year was better. There is no way. There is no way. With the Lord, it gets better. It gets better. You know that scripture in Proverbs 4:18, it said, the path of the just is that the shining light, it shines brighter and brighter and brighter. You know why? Because we are going to glory. Glory is the brightest. But in intensity, the brightness of the light increases the closer we get to glory. The closer you get to glory, the intensity of the brightness of that light cannot dim. Cannot dim. The closer we get to glory, the brighter, the brighter, the brighter. So while we are living on this earth, your life keeps getting better. It keeps getting brighter. It keeps getting brighter. It keeps getting better. And someday you are going to look back. Oh, this happens to me all the time. All the time. I look back at a few years. I look back at, and I think, God, look at what you've brought me through. God, look at what you brought me through. And sometimes I shake my head. Sometimes I just bust out and I say, Lord, I can hardly believe the story of my life. Look at where you brought me from. See why? Because it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. The glory of the latter house always surpasses the former. When you walk with the Lord, when Jesus is Lord. But I want to close out with this scripture here in Ephesians 2:10, the Amplified. I want to close out by explaining something about that scripture to you. Put that scripture up, please. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified. We are his workmanship. That's the Amplified. Thank you. For we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew or born again, that we may do those good works which he predestined. He planned beforehand for us. Watch this. Taking paths that have been prepared ahead of time. That we should walk in them. Watch this. Living the good life which he prearranged and he made ready for us to live. God, you've got to see this. You've got to see this. It's prearranged. It's pre-planned. It's predestined. But guess what? We have to walk that road. We have to walk those paths. Listen to this now. You can't walk your path and arrive at the good life. You got to hear me as I close this service today. You can't walk your path, your own path, and live the good life. Your own path does not lead to the good life. Your path does not lead to the good life. The only path that leads to the good life are the paths that he prepared, that he prearranged, that he predestined. Guess what? Guess what? That's why we need to follow him.
Yes.
Hear me, church. That's why we need to follow him for the rest of our lives. We need to make the decision, I will follow Jesus. Why? Because his path will carry you to the good life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His path will carry you to the glorious path that shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. So when the Lord says, huh? You say, yes, Lord. You don't say, no, Lord. Because what he said is going to lead you to the path that will carry you to the good. It may not even feel like that right now. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that in the moment. Sometimes it feels like this is hard. Like those disciples said in John 6, this is really hard. And guess what? You know, some of them, when they said it was hard, they left. They start following him. They turn back. Ha ya 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 ya. Ha ya 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 ya. Ha ya 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 ya. Some of those who turned back were destined for glory, but they never saw that glory because they turned back. When you turn back from following the Lord, it's an aborted destiny, friends. It's an aborted destiny. It's a dead end street. It carries you in a direction where there is no way out. You arrive and there are blockages everywhere. But what was it that made them turn around? What he said was hard. I don't know. It was hard because he said, carry your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, carry your cross, follow me. I get it, it's hard. But if I understand that as hard as it is leading me to the good life, my friend, like Panam Percy Paul said, I will follow him for the rest. I just keep following him. It may be hard some mornings. It may be hard some days. But when you get up, you say, God, it's really hard today. God, I ask you for grace, grace upon grace upon grace. Lord, I engage your grace. Help me, help me, help me. And then receive the help in faith. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, Lord, I can do it. Thank you, Lord, I can do it. And then I will follow him for the rest. And you just keep going. You just keep going. Some days it feels like you are on a freeway and it's so easy, it's so breezy, it's so smooth and it's so nice. But some other days, man, it's just sometimes a struggle. That's when the cross drags on your back. But you know what you ought to do? Just say, Lord, I will follow you for the rest of my life because I know this is for my good. This is not for my hurt. This is not for my destruction. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Oh, and if you do that, my friend, if you do that, my friends, the good life. Nyafun life. Abundant life. Zoe life. Glory life. Favor life. Blessing life. Peaceful life. Anointed life. The good life. Somebody shout yes. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say with me today, I'll follow him for the rest of my life. Say that I'll follow him for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus. And the Lord will help me. He is Lord. I'm not. He is the leader. I'm the follower. I will come to him. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross. And I'll follow him. And there is no question where we will bust out. We will live the good life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we love you. We exalt you. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us so clearly today. Thank you, Father, for the anointing on your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We declare the Lordship of Jesus over our lives today. Go ahead and do it. Declare the Lordship of Jesus over your life. Declare the Lordship of He's my Lord. I'm not my Lord. He is my Lord. I don't do what I want. I don't choose my own way. I don't choose my own path. I follow Him. I follow. He decides. He is the leader. I'm the follower. He is Lord. He has the preeminence. Yes, He's my Savior, but He's not just my Savior. He's also my Lord. He's my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. Shut up, Baba. Oh, hallelujah. My God. Oh, my God. Some people have never made that decision. They've never really been challenged. It's not their fault. They've never really been challenged to make that decision. So many people all over the world, all over the church, all over the body of Christ, they've just been fed this deceptive gospel. Like, yeah, you know, it's just blessing, whatever, you know, just do whatever comes to mind, whatever you feel, you know. People even talk about, you know, doing what they feel, doing what they sense, what makes them feel good, you know. It's not their fault, they just never known. But you heard the word of God clearly today. You can no longer say, I never knew. And to everyone that is under the sound of my voice today, whether you are hearing this message in the moment or maybe you're hearing it afterwards, I want you to make a quality decision. Let's all do it together. You may even have done it before, but I want you to renew that commitment, that decision today. Regarding the Lordship of Jesus. That I will not be one of those disciples that walk away. It was just too hard. It was too hard. I couldn't stand it. It was too hard. I couldn't endure it. No, that I will not be one of those that satisfied with having Jesus be my Savior. I make a quality decision that I will follow him for the rest of my life. Wherever he leads,
wherever he guides, wherever he directs, whether it makes sense or not, whether I love it or not, whether I enjoy it or not, whether it's my desire or my pleasure or not, wherever he directs, wherever he leads, that's where you will go. Would you make that commitment? Just do it in 1 minute. Mean it from your heart. That in all areas of my life, Jesus will have preeminence. The preeminence. He will have first place. In every area of my life, I will follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Not my will, but thine will be done, O God. Not as I please, God, but as you please. Not as I choose, but as you choose, God. That I will do what you say. I will follow you the rest of my life. And I know that you will help me. I know grace will be available. I know grace will be more than sufficient. I know in my days of struggles, grace will be more than sufficient. When I feel like I'm tripping up, and when I feel like I'm not holding it together, I know your grace will be sufficient. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you the praise. We thank you for the good life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Help me bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, thank you for the good life, Lord.